What's up? Nick Oliveri Show. I'm Nick Oliveri. Ukraine-born, best-selling novelist. And yeah, that's where we talk about great people, great art, and the many things in between. Today, we're going to be going over some things kind of on the in-between. Just some things I've been thinking about. Right now, currently, I'm kneeling in the middle of my living room of my new place. I drove across the country from Massachusetts to Arizona. And while you're driving through Western Massachusetts in suburban bum F Connecticut, through upstate New York, and all across the entire state of Pennsylvania, the entire state, your mind begins to wander. You can only listen to so much music and so much commentary and so many audiobooks. And I did listen to a few. I've been listening to Albert Camus' The Stranger. It's been recommended to me many times. Almost done with it. Not super impressed, but maybe I'll give a review later. All beside the point. I have a lot of tales from the road. And when I say tales, I mean I have some real tales from the road. That, you know, everything I do, however inane, mundane, however stupid, however radical, however ridiculous, stressful it is that I do on a daily basis in the morning to the night, even what occurs in my dreams, it all is amalgamated, and that all makes it into my writing in one way or another, right? One of my favorite quotes, and I don't know who to attribute this to, but one of my favorites is, you don't have to be typing to be writing. I've mentioned this in an earlier episode. So I did a lot of writing while I wasn't typing, while I drove for about 35, 36-ish, maybe 38 hours from Massachusetts to Arizona. Of course, I made stops along the way, but I did it alone, and I have some tales, but those are for different episodes. One of my musings, and really just... I'm literally kneeling on the new living room floor, this hardwood floor. I think it's vinyl, by the way. I'm not that fancy. with my setup on a coffee table. It's just, I had some things to get off my chest. And I'm, you know, going to be a little self-indulgent here, but like, if you don't know that by now, I'm a novelist, an artist. If you don't think that's, you know, every novelist is self-indulgent, and if they ever tell you otherwise, be very wary of them. Anyways, I'm going to indulge myself here because what I was writing last night, right now my work in progress is a sort of spiritual successor to Monsters in My Mind, which is continuing to sell daily, primarily on Amazon, but all sorts of platforms and channels. It's just been so busy unpacking boxes and putting together all these things. I'm extremely excited, blessed, and all that to be here. But it's been a struggle, a journey, but such is life. And then, you know, that goes down to like the root of probably the question that I ask myself the most, whether I'm walking, driving, creating anything, working, and especially... writing stories, is why do we suffer? And that's where all of philosophy is derived from. It's not who are we, which is another question I love to go around with whenever I write, and the people that come in and out of my works express and say, but it's like, man, life hurts sometimes. Or rather, I should say, life hurts almost all the time. And sometimes it hurts a whole hell of a lot. Like, seriously. And it can be made worse if you're the one that does it to yourself. Oftentimes, we're our own worst enemies. So, this is coming from another wider kind of cultural if you will, vibration that I'm feeling. And it's this sort of indifference and resignation. I'm not feeling, although it's easy to sink into this. It's easy to resign yourself when all you see on the YouTube feed or the billboards, whenever you walk around, or even when you're with other people, you could be in the biggest party and still feel alone. You could make all the money in the world and, you know, you still look at it, look at your possessions, and, you know, or just move around in your private jet, wake up from your nap and be in the air and surround yourself with people, experiences, drink, drugs, all this stuff that could be really pleasurable, by the way. It only leaves you with so much, and you have to, unless you die, you have to return yourself to this idea and this question of why shouldn't I just resign from life? There are some philosophical answers to this, which is like Epicureanism, or, you know, kind of the founder of hedonism, if you will. Epicurus, in a previous episode, probably talked about Epicurus, but he was like the philosophical, like written founder of hedonism. Hedonism, very simple, often seen as a bad word to those who know it a little bit, and to those who know it a lot, it's either really good or really bad. All it is really is the pursuit of pleasure and a good life and, dare I say, a virtuous life, the meaning of life, virtue or not, virtue or vice, or basically relinquishing the notion of good, evil, virtue, vice, things like cowardice, bravery. It doesn't matter. Those notions don't matter in Epicureanism. It's just pleasure. Pleasure is life. The more pleasure you get, the better your life is. You want a drink? Okay. Oh, man, this is feeling good. My second glass of wine. Oh, man, it's feeling really good. Maybe I want to moderate so I can wake up pleasurably tomorrow. Maybe I want to take a girl home, so that's pleasurable. And maybe it's, you know, cheap, like a cheap night, if you will. I'm not trying to dance around it, but... Oh, it's not a meaningful relationship. Well, who cares? Because what would be pleasurable would just be to either move on to another girl, or what would be pleasurable would be to not work out today. Oh, wait, but it's not pleasurable to feel bad. So maybe I just work out in moderation. You know what would feel really good? You know what would, like, feel really good is if I ate all of that goldfish that I have in my cabinet and all the ice cream in my freezer. Man, that would feel good. But wait, no, I want to look good though. And if I eat all that food, all that crap, then maybe that's not good. So you're constantly balancing this pleasure. That is hedonism. That's Epicureanism. And while I do think that everyone is a philosopher, unfortunately, I think most people's philosophy is hedonism, even if they don't think so. Even if they think, I know a lot of people who would be like, no, I'm not a philosopher, if they were ever asked or confronted about it, but they ultimately and largely practice hedonism. They're secular, and they might say, well, no, I worked really hard to get this position at my job, or to get this girlfriend whom I really like and who really, really loves me, and this loyalty and this bond, and it feels good. But for what? Because if it's not for virtue, or if you're not being loyal just to be loyal, if you're never tested and you either fail or pass the test, or you don't have a chance to fail or pass because you're never tested, or you never test yourself, that's hedonism, right? So it's really easy I'm going to get back to my point about, you know, I was driving across the country, right? I saw all the topography of the whole United States. Believe me, I did. I legitimately did. I saw the mountains. I saw the plains. I saw the cornfields. I saw the forested highways. I, you know, some turnpikes smelled like manure. Some other ones smelled like manure. A lot of them were bland. Sometimes they would transition, and it just, it gave me some pause. You know, it's hard to turn your mind off anyway, but just kind of thinking. And of course, I succumb to digital media too. I'll go and scroll. I listen to YouTube. I'll listen to commentary. The more and more I get on my YouTube feed is just, okay, like, these ideas that, and by the way, I don't disagree with them. So I'm not just parroting things that I think. I think that a lot of the things that I think and feel are reflective of what I'm scrolling through, right? So you get like the World War III memes. It's like, oh, everything's going to crap. The geopolitical scene's awful. Oh man, the White House and the federal branch is doing this again. Donald Trump's doing this again. It's bad. It's awful. We live in a dystopia. And then every single time, and yes, I put ads in this podcast now, and it's, guys, it's for the money. The podcast isn't, but the ads are. But nowadays, there's an ad for an ad for an ad, and they're going to get you no matter what, no matter where you are. And if you're driving serenely with all your media off, it's going to be billboards. And what I see more often is, you know, the World War III stuff, our government sucks, the geopolitical scene sucks, oh, memes about getting drafted, oh, men are alienated, oh, Hollywood sucks, art's not good anymore, film's not good, literature's not good anymore. I don't actually disagree with a lot of that. That's the problem. I don't disagree with a lot of that. I'm not saying, but here's the thing, I'm not resigning myself to that. I think what a lot of these algorithms would like us to do, us, a collective us, you, your, the people you know, and myself, and everyone else, us, you listening, me as well. They, as in those that have say in extremely powerful algorithms, way more powerful nowadays than cable television. You see Stephen Colbert got canceled. You know, YouTube has billions and billions and billions of views a day, I think. Something ridiculous. And so, or Instagram, you know, Meta, Google, Netflix. The things that are being greenlit right now, in my opinion, are very subversive to the point of being perverted. And, you know, we want to depict things backwards. I did a two-episode, not rant, but I just did a two-episode sort of dissection on, like, well, I compared Disney Star Wars to poop, and I basically told, you know, went down the line as to which one is better in what category, literal feces or Disney Star Wars, and, well, poop won. So, yeah, I do think a lot of popular media really sucks today. I think a lot of pop music sucks today. I don't really listen to pop. But, like, I think a lot of things really suck. I think new logos for older IPs are being turned into, yeah, dystopian little, like too sleek to even have any personality. There's so much uniformity and all these ads, Adobe and things, and AI is coming out, and yeah, that means the memes, the podcast, the, like, every commentary video, whatever, every critique, it's always AI, 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 it's the next thing, it's the next thing, it can automate this for you, or, and then it's going to take your job, it's going to take your livelihood, then it's going to take over, then it's going to kill you. And our food's poison, and all this, and all of this, right, as I am sitting, kneeling down, talking to a microphone, sitting atop my coffee table in my new place in Arizona. But you know what? It's sunny here. You know what? I discovered a new art gallery today. You know what? I'm looking at my laptop right now and I see stickers that I made with a design from a designer who I met at a book signing in Modesto, California, with a signature of mine on it that I used to sign books with. And the quote in the middle of the sticker, and my laptop's covered with them, it says, "Even a king must submit to great art." It's kind of a quote of defiance, and it's a quote of non-resignation. Let me just speed that up and break it down for you. AI is taking over. It's going to take your job. It's going to take your livelihood. AI is going to coerce all the algorithms to make your wives hate you or your boyfriends cheat on you. It's going to turn you to a girl if you're a boy, or a boy to a girl, or if you're neither, it's going to turn you to nothing. We're going into World War III. Our food is poison. Bill Gates continues to buy up the farmland. You know, the sun is going to burn out in 8 billion or 2 billion or however many millions of gazillion years. We're on a rock. We're floating through space. You know, world governments are coalescing more and more for more control, and power is being consolidated more and more. Things are getting more expensive. Commodities are becoming more expensive. Groceries, gas, you name it, you know it. Living, it's becoming more expensive. Labor is getting more alienating and more difficult. I'm going to keep going here because this episode is about, well, you'll see. You drive through the fields. It's still so barren. When you go towards some of these and through some of these cities in the middle of the country, they're rusted. Oh, the United States has no more manufacturing. Largely true. A lot true. Oh man, all these, you know, there are multiple global governments collapsing. Israel, Palestine, Ukraine, Russia. It's all bad. You know, we're headed to nuclear fallout anyway. You know, things are going to get more expensive anyway. World Economic Forum, they say you'll own nothing and you'll like it. It's all, you'll like it. The billboards always say you'll like it. You know, you're going to get ads for, oh, you're fatty. Because your food's poison, we'll take these drugs to make you feel happier and shoot this into you to get you skinnier. And you'll at least look kind of a little bit healthier. Everybody is two-faced. Even the ground you walk on, if it's hot enough, the fumes could actually be toxic. The air quality is bad in a lot of cities. Some of the most desirable, most expensive places to live, yeah, the air quality sucks. The oceans, pollution, microplastics, it's all there. It's all there. And then on top of that, I'm talking about macro issues. What about your own existence? And this is where the existentialist in me comes in. This is where existentialism lies. This is where it is. Your own existence. So yeah, you're dealing with all these macro issues and you're being pelted with them. Pelted. If you want to slow down and read a book, well, if you want to read popular literature, you're going to just read about people cheating on each other. You're going to read about scandals and negativity, tabloids, magazines. You want to go on YouTube? Look at the latest person who got canceled. Look at the latest person who just failed. Look at the latest person or company, you know, that just flopped. Look at why Elon Musk sucks, or Donald Trump sucks, or why Kamala Harris is a bozo, or AOC is awful, or why the military-industrial complex wants to kill you, and how bad are... Look at it all. When you just want to relax after a long day's work, at a job you're not even sure you're going to have, and it might not even pay for all of what you want or even all of what you need. That's the problem. Therein lies the real issue. what you need. You work your ass off and then you want to consume some art, and a lot of it sucks, and a lot of it's just as poison as what they feed you, right? And this is such a bleak picture I'm painting, because you look at these macro geopolitical giant huge issues. This group of people is doing this to you. That group of people is doing that. This celebrity, oh my goodness, this company's investing and buying up all the farmland. This company's buying up all the houses. And then you have your own 2 feet, 2 arms, and eyes, skin to look after. Are you sick today? Is a loved one sick? Is your boss hassling you? Do you not have a job and not have a boss to hassle you? Did you just move? I just did. I'm literally just still settling in. And it's freaking hard. It's really freaking hard. It's really hard. Is it too hot where you are? I'm recording this in the summer. Right now it's 108 where I live. Is it too cold? Are you listening to this in the winter? Is it too gray? Is it too windy to go outside? Are the streets frozen over? Are you tired? Are you energetic? Did you screw up a relationship? Did that girl that you asked out say no? Or were you too scared to ask out that girl? Did that guy that you wanted, you found out that he has a girlfriend and he's loyal to her? God damn it. Damn it. Damn it all, right? Just damn it all. Oh, man. You got to go into work today. Oh, man, you got laid off, or you got fired, or you got broken up with, okay? You got in a fight with a friend or your parents. You feel alienated, even if you didn't get in any fights. You got too drunk. You feel awful. You did something stupid. You said something stupid. Or maybe you didn't get drunk because you stayed inside and you regret staying inside because your friends wanted you to come out, and you revel in self-pity. You were just kind of rotten in your room and you said, oh, I don't want to make a mistake. And then the mistake was you staying in. Oh, man, I should have called that friend. Or why don't my friends call me? Or if you do call your friends, why aren't they answering me? Or if they do answer, man, that was a boring conversation. Like, what is it? What is it? And I didn't come on here to make some sort of like motivational or inspirational take. I was really, you know, these thoughts are coming off my current work in progress. Like I said earlier, it's a spiritual successor to Monsters in My Mind. No name for it yet. Like I said, work in progress. And well, these thoughts came through in a passage that I wrote yesterday. So I'm going to get to the point. But let me just give you a few other examples, because, like, you know, even if you are, you know, living existentially and, you know, you're keeping your world small, you know, maybe you meditate, maybe you you want to live simply. Maybe you want to live eccentrically, or just you want to live on your own means. You're an individualist and all of this stuff doesn't matter to you, but you still had to drain your savings for a medical problem, or you're trying to find medical insurance, or you got laid off, or it's harder to work now and keep a good schedule because you have a kid that just came, and you know, you have a baby that you love, but it's taking up all your time, and you need to work more and make more money because you have that kid or your kid's on the way, and it's beautiful, but it's stressful at the same time. And, or, you know, maybe it was unplanned and God knows what else. Maybe you got diabetes. It's not a joke. I'm not joking here. Maybe you did. And it's not a joking matter. But like, I laugh because I'm just rattling off all these things that just life is just, it's just gonna kick the ever loving SHITT out of you. Hulk Hogan just died as I record this. He just died yesterday. Ozzy Osbourne just died like yesterday or 2 days ago. Those guys died, man. I love Black Sabbath. Black Sabbath is awesome. I still listen to them. Timeless. Timeless. Absolutely timeless. Basically a founding father of metal. They call them the Prince of Darkness. Creepy name, but whatever, man. Like, dang. Did one of your loved ones just die? Or did one of your favorite artists just come out with a disappointing album? I'm a big Lil Wayne fan. I'm a fan of Lil Wayne's music. He helped me get through middle school, man, in high school. Motivating playlists when I worked out, whatever. Love Wheezy. Carter Six wasn't all that. I didn't expect it to be all that because he's burned too brightly for too long, man. And that's just life. So what's my point here? Let me read you a passage that I wrote yesterday during this work in progress. This novel, yes, it's a novel. It doesn't have a name yet, but the context is there is a young man or a boy. He was about to graduate college, got broken up with. He committed suicide, and then he's able to... Well, he's basically in the mind of this one person. We'll call that person Sean right now. Sean's going through a very tough time. In fact, he's in the novel, he's in a meth-induced psychosis, right? And this guy, we'll call him Charlie, is Charlie is in this person's mind right now. And Sean is losing faith, hope. He's basically made, you know, he's not a dumb guy, Sean. He's just an addict. And he gave in to his affliction for multiple reasons throughout the novel. And, of course, still a work in progress, but he's not a dumb guy, so he made the conscious decision. He goes, well, you know what? Like, this isn't for anything. I have been treated cruelly. This hasn't been a good life. This has been a cruel life. I've lived in an indifferent world. It doesn't care for me. No one really cares for me. The only people that care for me are the ones that pay me, and they don't care for me. They just care for the work that I do for them. And he landscapes. And then he just chose. He chose to relapse. Now, I'm not saying addicts, you know, like that disease, that awful, horrible disease, whatever you are addicted to, it's like, it's. I'm not saying succumbing to that, you know, or not succumbing to that is easy. It's that's another problem. Are you addicted to anything, something? You want to stop smoking? Or maybe you want to start smoking because, oh, what does it matter anyway? Like Kansas said, is all we are is dust in the wind. Man. Let me read you this passage and let's bring it home. But let me read you this. Let me read you this. Okay. It goes like this. This is what I wrote last night. This is Charlie speaking in Sean's head, speaking to Sean right now. And he sees what Sean's doing. He knows what he's up to. And he just sees the doubt and the relapse and the resignation from his own life, from all of the struggles, all the things that brought him there, good, bad, and different. And now I'll shut up and I'll read you what I wrote last night. Remember, it's a work in progress, but here it is. Charlie is saying this. Sean, all those meetings, all those times you failed, all that therapy, all that time working out when you had cravings, those push-ups on the dirty floor, pooling with your own sweat, that wasn't all for nothing. Those times you felt confused as a kid, wondering if you were the only one who was left alone and hurt, that wasn't all for nothing. And for all the pain of dating and being broken up with, time and time again, finding lovers just to lose them and have to patch up your heart again, just to find that one girl who would end up your wife, that same woman you'd give everything for only to kiss her for the first time, one last time. That wasn't for nothing either, Sean. The pain from the withdrawal, feeling in your gut that you were your own worst enemy, good at nothing, Watching the child you raised taken away by the woman who used to be your reason to live. Was that for nothing, Sean? All that pain and self-indignation. And for nothing? Buddy the dog. Your dog. The one who kept you good and sane and showed you once again you could be loving and kind. Some little creature who depended on you and you cared for. Was he for nothing? Ask yourself, Sean, even in this state, when your mind races and the tingling takes away all the pain, ask yourself, was that all for you to turn back and rot away, be led astray by some little girl who knows no better? When you were crying on the floor on New Year's Eve alone, writhing in pain, knowing you put yourself there, those memories of all the parties with friends from your colored past, or those date nights with your wife when she would wear red and you looked into her eyes and see heaven, when you weren't by yourself in the dark, after all of those good nights with the many people you missed and laughed with or loved with, that night lost in the closed maze of your own creation, was all of that for nothing? The lessons and the broken rules and the late nights and the police sirens and the gut-bursting laughter and the kisses warm and the walks with your dog and the simple joy of a sunny morning after a tough night. I know that wasn't for nothing. Pick up the phone, Sean. Pick it up. It's not for nothing. Yeah. End quote. That was Charlie talking. Well, Charlie, the person in this novel, in my work in progress, just answered all of my questions. He's asking you, he's asking me, he's asking Sean in the story, in this adventure, if you will. Is it all for nothing? Was traveling all that way for nothing? Was going through that relationship and that heartbreak and that heartache for nothing? Was all of that work to get fit for nothing? All those hours in the gym, maybe, that you spent training for that game, for that tryout, not making the team for nothing? Or maybe you made the team. Was that for nothing? All those beautiful moments, maybe just those simple fleeting moments, those passing moments, when you just felt the sun on your face, or you just sipped that coffee in the morning, maybe the wine at night, maybe nothing. Maybe a sleep, maybe a nice dream, maybe an achievement, an award at work, maybe a hug from your grandmother, from your husband, your girlfriend, your wife, your lover, your mother, maybe a kind word from a friend, maybe a time you were with your buddies, your friends, your girlfriends, and you just could not stop laughing. Was that for nothing too? Was it just for nothing? Is it all for nothing? Ask yourself. Because what Charlie says and what I say is I know that was not for nothing. I know that wasn't for nothing. And Charlie says, pick up the phone. Pick it up. It's not for nothing. So what is it? You could listen to this and just say, no, you're wrong, man. You're wrong, Nick. And that whatever little contrivance that you put down on paper, it doesn't matter. And it is for nothing. I wrote that last night on a Saturday night, by the way. I wrote it last night because I write every day. I've been so busy. I know I'm like getting infamous for scorning other writers and aspiring authors for saying, oh, I don't have the time to write, and saying, you always have the time to write. I really have not had the time or energy to write in the last like 4 days, but the last 2 days I have. I found it in me. It's been a lot of moving, and boy, do I have stories from the road. But I wrote that last night, and of course my regular regimen of writing, no matter how chaotic my life may be, is continuing to ensue. And you could just say, Nick, those words don't matter to me. I'm not going to pick up the phone. It doesn't matter. It is for nothing. I'm not going to pick up the phone. It's World War III. We're being fed garbage. I'm lonely or something. I have a crisis in the family and it hurts. And look, I get it. I get it. It hurts. It sucks. It really sucks. It just sucks. But I'm here to tell you, and I'm here to argue with you, if you don't have my position, that it's not for nothing. I urge you, it's not for nothing. Go out and enjoy something. And if you can't laugh, then try to smile. Give yourself a smile. And if you can't smile, then do something that you can feel good about. Get good at something. Do anything. Do anything. But what Charlie says in this novel, and what I'm saying to you, is pick up the phone. At least just pick up the phone. It's not for nothing. Answer the call. Answer the call. Is it World War III out there? You know? Are we getting too much radiation from the 5G, the 7G, the 11G? The G unit? Just pick up the phone. Per usual, this is already getting long. And it wasn't meant to be like some sort of a backdrop to like some motivational video or compilation on YouTube. That's not what this is for. It's just something I had to get off my chest. Because everyone you know as well is fighting a battle within themselves. And oftentimes outside of themselves. They're fighting with a landlord. Or maybe if they're a landlord, they're fighting with a tenant. They're fighting on the ice. They're playing hockey. They got injured. Or they scored a goal and won. And they're moving on to the next round. They're fighting on the soccer field. They're fighting with their parents. They're fighting with their spouses. They're fighting with their boss or their employees. They're fighting with the shareholders, the board. They're fighting with the government. They're fighting with the lawyers. They're fighting. But really, they're fighting themselves too. And you are... Let me tell you, you're the last person you want to fight because everything else is going to hold you back. Everything else is going to not believe in you. Everything else is going to provide resistance. Your car is going to break down and sometimes your body is too. No matter how good you feel, no matter how young you are, no matter what you eat and what you do, sometimes your body and your mind, they're going to shut down. I promise you this. I have the most willpower, I think, out of anyone I know, and my body shuts down sometimes. I need a break sometimes. I do. It's tough. Life is tough, but answer the phone. Charlie says, you know, your dog or the simple joy of a sunny morning after a tough night. I know that wasn't for nothing. Pick up the phone, Sean. Pick it up. It's not for nothing. Answer the call, guys. Whatever and whoever's ringing your line, you might be looking at your phone right now and say, well, I don't see anyone on it. Then get someone on it. Get someone on it. Or go out. Get off your phone and go out. Get rejected by a job. Get rejected by a girl. Go out and get rejected. Was that rejection for nothing? Was that effort for nothing? What if one time you don't get rejected? What if many times you don't? What if you get better at the skill you're trying to improve? Just pick up the damn phone. Pick up the phone. It's not for nothing. Stop resigning yourself. And I know it's tough, but this is something that came up in the book yesterday in my work in progress. And yeah, it's a work of fiction. It's a novel, technically. Yes, it's a novel. It's a novel. But I think the greatest messages we receive, the greatest lessons we learn, the greatest morals tales of tragedy, triumph, and everything in between? What we learn, what we engulf, are through stories. Stories are told through all sorts of different means, and in the digital age, we have a million other ways to tell stories too. And in the story I'm writing right now, that came up. So, I don't know if he's going to pick up the phone. But I know he should. Charlie thinks so. I think so. And I'm going to pick up my phone. And I hope you do too. Yeah. Woo. I got to get up off of my knees because my legs are going numb. But yeah, I appreciate it. A lot more on the way. Follow me on Amazon, Instagram, X, whatever. And yeah, I never have a sign off. It's whatever. Never really had a thing for goodbyes. Just go do your thing. Go live. Go live. I think it was Ben Franklin who said this. Either live something worth writing about or write something worth reading about. Something like that. Go live. Pick up the phone.